Hello, pilgrims. We are at the time of the year where we celebrate the pilgrims and the Indians having dinner. And this is the time of the year that they had that meal because it was harvest. Now, harvest is when all the work is done and you get to sit back and you get to enjoy, relish, and be grateful for everything your hard work has produced. Now, because it was more of an agrarian culture back in the day, it's very much an earth-based harvest, right? But we still have harvest season. Right? We still have seasons that cycle with the earth. We still have periods of darkness in the winter where we cocoon ourselves and go into a chrysalis period where we turn into jelly and morph into something new and something more brilliant, the butterfly. We still have periods where we plant. We plant seeds after the ground has been frozen. For the winter period, we plant seeds, we till, we shake up the ground, we open it back up, we put the seeds chosen carefully into the ground, expecting them to grow that spring. Over the summer, it's really a lot of waiting for things to grow. It's when we get to have fun. It's after all of the hard work of planting is done. You get warm, you go on vacation, you sun yourself, it feels good. And it's a period of waiting, waiting for the harvest, waiting for the fruit to bloom from your seed. Of course, you still have to water things and you still have to make sure they get enough sun and you still have to weed things here and there, but it's not the heavy, hard period. And then comes harvest. There's actually the most work, physical work, when you're a farmer or someone who's growing a garden in your yard, even. The most work comes in the harvest, where you have to go out there and you have to make something of the fruits of your labor. You have to pick it, you have to bring it in, you have to make something of it, you have to sell it at a farmer's market or can it or cook with it, whatever it is that you're going to do with it. You have the harvest period. And as soon as the harvest is finished in the United States of America, we have a Thanksgiving meal to thank God and the earth, Mother Earth, the forces at play, and ourselves. We thank ourselves for the hard work we've put in to life. Without the harvest, there is no life. Life is manifest through the harvest period. In harvest, in our, I want to say real lives, instead of our metaphorical lives, right? We have these symbolic seasons through the earth that are not just symbolic. They actually produce physical fruits. But we are always having a spiritual experience, and our spiritual experience reflects our earth experience. As seasons move, we move energetically. Not understanding this is a massive cause of frustration. It's a huge cause of frustration when you're standing there in June and you want to know why haven't I gotten what I wanted? Why aren't my resolutions here? Because it's not harvest season, honey. Harvest season begins in August and runs through to Thanksgiving. Why can't I get everything to happen in February? Because it's fallow period, honey. Because this is when the universe reorients itself. And we have traditions that go way, way, way back to pagan times, way, way, way back to the earth, way back to when the sun and the moon and the stars We're believed to be controlling every aspect of our lives and the praying to the gods who controlled all of the things. Our traditions go back to then. And they are as much a part of us now as they were then. And our spiritual, emotional, and mental cycles are the same as they were then. They're inescapable. It doesn't matter whether you are bowing to a flag. It doesn't matter whether you're bowing to one God instead of many. It doesn't matter whether you're on one side of the earth or the other. I assume that this cycle is flipped when you're on the other side of the earth, but you still experience those seasons. It doesn't matter if you live in Los Angeles instead of in Colorado, where we really experience the difference between four seasons. We got about, I don't know, 12 to 18 inches of snow the last few days, and the roads have been crappy and dangerous, and I had to get pushed out of just the middle of the street. Actually, there was so much snow in the middle of the street, I hadn't even pulled over to inside the snow, and I couldn't get my car to move. The wheels were just spinning on ice. And of course, wonderful Coloradoans just came right over and pushed me right out. We are at the Thanksgiving period. So let's quickly review what our energetic cycle looks like. I have developed these methods that I've been using for a decade to track my own progress through the cycle, to experience and ritualize my own progress through the cycle. My clients, my friends, my family, we do these tried and true rituals that ground us and help us experience the whole benefit of going through these cycles without racing past them, right? Here's what I know about the cycles. Okay, let's start with January. January is when everyone on the entire planet, or some form of January, right? Chinese New Year isn't in January, but on some form of newness, right? There's something new. When we begin our year, and I'm pretty sure every culture or religion has a beginning of the year. I think actually astrologically, it's an Aries is the beginning of the year, and that's in March. My sun's in Aries. That's the spring equinox, which does make sense, right? It does make sense to have a beginning there. But the beginning there is the planting. So the winter is what I think of as the beginning, because the winter is when you are conceiving. The winter is when, right after the holiday season, in January, you look around and you say, okay, what do I want to change? What do I want for the coming year? What do I want to achieve? How do I want to feel? What changes do I want to make? What do I want to maintain? What are my goals? What are my resolutions? Right? So January happens in the winter. It happens mid-winter. It's when, oh my gosh, millions of people look to the skies, look to the universe, look to their gods, look within themselves and say, okay, this is where I'm going. These are the seeds I want to plant. Okay. And then we have fucking February, which is what I always call it. Fucking February. February is the period when the entire universe takes all of those resolutions and reorganizes itself accordingly. There is a massive amount of intention that changes everything. It changes all of your plans of the entire universe, right? It changes what jobs people want. It changes what businesses they want to open, what businesses they want to close down, what they want their relationships to look like. It changes every aspect of the universe, every aspect of society, because our intentions have changed. This is why February is often, and I know this in my own life, it is the hardest month. It's the shortest month, and it feels like the longest month because it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. If you decided to close one door on a job and open another door, maybe with a risky business, hey, Tom Cruise, with a risky business that you're going to launch, and you don't take up the action for that, the universe is going to shut that door for you. If you decide that you're going to transition from one business model to another business model, the universe is going to make that business model fail. If you decide you're going to change your relationship and the other partner is not down with this change, there will be chaos in your relationship during February. If you decide you're going to change your body, lose a certain amount of weight, take a cleanse, in February is when you start to lose steam because the excitement is gone. In February is when the gym goes back to normal. I go to the gym twice a week, every week, all throughout the year to do kickboxing. And it is so crowded in January that my instructor just stops her membership for her family because there's no point, because everybody in the world is going to do these amazing schedules and they overplan. They shoot way further than they should shoot. Now they've got cramps and they've got aches and they've got pains and they haven't seen the massive results that they wanted. You know, instead of losing 10 pounds a month, they're looking at the scale and they're saying, two? All this work for 2 pounds? So by February, we've lost our enthusiasm and our optimism because shit got real. February is also the darkest month. We're not finished gestating. These are still ideas and plans for the universe to work around. The universe, it takes a minute for the universe to readjust itself according to millions of resolutions and millions of intentions. It takes a minute, man. Cut the universe some slack. The universe has to deal with matter. It has to deal with physical bodies. It has to deal with physical jobs. It has to deal with physical properties. It has to deal with real interactions in established and unestablished relationships. The universe has a big, huge job in February. And we're not really supposed to be accomplishing anything in February. We're choosing in February. I know we have this January 1st deadline, which I think is actually pretty misplaced. I'm not sure that January is a deadline that you want to observe for intentions, because what we're supposed to be doing, what we authentically find ourselves doing, is hibernating, letting these ideas sit with us. Letting these ideas take form, letting the ideas flow from the intention, right? So you may create the intention, but you're not sure how you're going to manifest this intention. And February is when you sit with it. You just sit with it. You sit with it. It's like the first trimester of pregnancy. There's not much you have to do except for maybe throw up. And, you know, you get really tired and you sleep a lot, but you're just sitting with it. You're changing a few physical things about your life, what you're eating, your exercise patterns, but you're sitting with it so that your brain can reorganize itself around this big, massive change of welcoming a human onto the planet. So then we move into the spring, and the spring is when we plant the seeds we've chosen and we wish into form, into manifestation, new life. We create the setting. We create the optimal conditions. We sow the ground. We move the ground around and we create healthy, thriving dirt and soil, actually. I recently learned that dirt and soil are two very different things. Soil is teeming with life and therefore can support life when we put some seeds in it. And dirt is just fallow. It has no ability to grow anything because there's no biosphere, and it's not friendly to growth, right? To to growing anything. So what we do is we create this soil that's just teeming with the ability to create life. And we put our chosen intentions into it. This takes some action, right? So spring, you're often filled with a rush of excitement, a rush of doing. And you have this little short burst of doing. Then summer comes, and it's really just about, again, waiting, right? You've set things into motion. Most of what you're doing is ritual. Most of what you're doing is, and by ritual, I mean weeding, watering, and waiting, right? Maybe, hopefully you don't spray disgusting pesticides all over the food, but that would probably happen in spring. Maybe some maintenance in the summer, but mostly you're waiting for the universe to do its bit again. You're waiting for the sun and the water to do what it does. You're waiting for the soil teeming with life to tell the seed, hey, grow, grow. You're in optimal conditions to grow. Go ahead and grow. What is that? 1,000 fairies whispering for one little piece of grass to grow. Grow, grow, grow. But also, summer's kind of leisure and it's kind of boring and it just rolls along with itself. You know, we spend a lot of time at the pool. We take vacations because you're just waiting. So you can kind of leave your job for a few weeks. You can go on a trip. You can play with your kids at the park. You can go to the pool every afternoon. You're kind of waiting for the universe to do its part. You planted the seed. You took that action to start it going, to start the momentum. And that is your job. That's what you were supposed to do. You're not necessarily supposed to do much to make a plant grow, to make seeds sprout and flourish and break the soil, break the roof. The universe, earth, that's her job. And then comes harvest. Fall is often the biggest burst of energy. Like we think of things dying. Yes, that's true. But also, we start dragging in all of our produce, the pumpkins, the squashes, all of these late autumn plants. We just keep pulling it in and pulling it in and pulling it in. And then we have to do things like can it or sell it or cook with it, find some use for it. And it's like this frenzy of activity, right? After the summer, it's this frenzy of activity and you're trying to outrace something. You're trying to win. You're trying to get it in faster than winter because winter is coming. Now we have a few traditions built around this, right? Because of farming, we have a summer break. Because of farming, we have a spring break for kids at school. November, the first week in November, the first Tuesday in November, actually, is the day that we vote as a nation. And that's because from our agrarian roots, that's when a farmer could leave his land and focus on something different. That's when the delicate system was developed for elections, right? The primary, the delegates that we elect for primary elections, and then the actual delegate voters, that's because they had to ride their horses. We chose someone from our community, and they had to ride a horse all the way to the Capitol to report what we wanted. That's why we have the super delegates that go and tell them what we want. It's from an agrarian culture. I don't know why in the United States we can't make change as our culture change. Like right now, what would make sense is an electronic vote using some kind of blockchain. But we're using this system from agrarian days that just don't make sense now. And that's a huge reason why our government doesn't work right now. is because we are not using new systems to elect people. We're not using new systems to make our voices heard. We're using these very old, antiquated systems that have not kept up with the internet revolution or even the machine, you know, the industrial revolution. We have not kept up. So, we right now have just finished the harvest. And I've developed these systems to help us look at what we have harvested, to take an accounting of what we have accomplished. Here's what I know about November. Every client I've ever had by November has forgotten what they accomplished in January, has forgotten what the universe has supplied to them in the way of travel over the summer or new friendships or meeting up with people that you've known forever on the internet and you just barely met, right? We forget because you stop thinking about it once you get it. Like when it is a resolution or an intention or a desire, you frequently think about it. After you have accomplished it or received it or attracted and manifested it, it fades to the background because there's no reason to continue your focus, no reason to continue your desire. You've received that trip. And while you may have fleeting memories of it, you've kind of forgotten how important it was to you. Also, we want to take an account of how we ended up here. Right? How did we end up here? Did we make a choice that went wrong? Was there a pivotal moment where we could have taken a more brave or courageous step in the direction of our intention, in the direction of our desire? How did we end up here? Did we just make this magnificent leap into faith and everything is paying off? Did we quit that job and go through really hard moments because the economy crashed or inflation made it impossible for you to succeed in your business? Did you not pivot? When things went south, did you not pivot and try to create something with a new model? Did you fall behind technological advancements that has affected your life? Did you not sign up for that class? And so you have to wait until next year to get that certificate or that degree. How did you get here is a fundamentally critical, such a critical, hugely critical accounting. It's so very, 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 very important. It's a massively important look so that you can learn. We all have patterns. We have relationship patterns. We have, maybe you're a procrastinator and you put things off to the very last minute and sometimes you miss your opportunity. We have burst workers. I'm a burst worker. So if I write a book, it's usually being launched in November. And I've written a lot of books many years in a row for, I think, 4 or 5 years in a row. I was releasing 1 or 2 books. And the result of that has been a crash, a burn out. And I'm not talking about I need an extra nap. I'm talking about, you know, blow out your adrenal system crash. I'm talking about going at a speed and creating things at such a, as the kids would say, God level, that it actually did not support my health. A pace that is unsustainable. So over this crash period, over this burnout period, there have been consequences of that and they're real. And so now as I think toward the 2020s, and I examine the 20 teens, one thing I really need to look out for is taking care of my health, going at a reasonable pace, holding back a little bit when I get an idea and not just throwing myself into it. Because I can see through my accounting, through my harvest, through my examination of the 20 teens, that I made a big mistake there. That what I did in terms of action and manifestation and intention and resolution making was not the best way for me to do again, right? So when you're in harvest, you're also examining, am I going to do it that way again? Where did I miss the boat where it could have gone at a slower pace? Why was I in such a hurry? Why was it critical that I write the year of yes and then start a coaching program around it and then also have a marketing program and build other people's dreams with website design and blogs and logos and their entire marketing platform, and at the same time create all of these classes and put them in a mastermind and at the same time market all of these things? Why was that the critical thing for me to do all at once? Why was I in such a fucking hurry? And who was pushing me towards this kind of speed, towards this kind of urgency? Who was I hanging out with? Who was helping me in my business? Why did this become so fucking urgent that it had to all be done right now? And would I choose to create that amount of content and that amount of various business models and that amount of creative just racing? Why did I choose that? Why did I have to have it all at once? I look at this period in the 20 teens where I created and took on, oh my gosh, probably a decade's worth of creation, of intention setting, of manifestation. I took it on in this short period of time that was half that decade. It was like 4 years. I wrote 6 books. Ghost wrote half a dozen books. I mean, it was just, I look back and I think that's an absurd amount of growth in that short period of time. And it wasn't fun. It was really stressful. It took a toll on my health. A crash was the result. It's taken me several years to recover. To even have a creative thought has taken me a significant period of time after that crash. So as we come into the 2020s, I can see that I will be happier and enjoy my life more if I create things at a slower, more reasonable pace. I can look at different business models and see that more joy for me and the people who follow me and the people who I'm helping will result from a system like Patreon. And if you don't know about Patreon, it's the direction that I'm moving in. Patreon is a platform in which creators can create without having to market every product, every book, every mastermind, every class, every whatever, right? You join this, you pay a monthly fee, you get access to all of this stuff. The fee for you, the benefit of that is you get to support the creator, which in this case would be me, for a nominal fee, really. And you get access to all of this amazing stuff, but you don't feel guilt and shame for not completing a course immediately after you purchase. It's a membership site. You also get to consider your contribution to the creator as a contribution toward your own experience, your own consumption of other people's creative work, and you get to support that creator in creating more. So back in the day, artists, writers, musicians, comics, everyone who had a creative job would have patrons. And these patrons would usually be wealthy businessmen, wealthy wives of businessmen, kings, queens, and they would see the value in art. They would be fed in some way by art. They would be fed by, consider a pastor, for instance. His congregation are patrons to him. They support his work on an ongoing basis because they're not just showing up on a Sunday and saying, oh, yep, I liked that sermon. I received something valuable from that sermon. So here's $20. It's more of a commitment. And many, many, many creators have experienced what I experienced as a creator in the 20 teens. And that is creator fatigue, massive burnout, an inability to create, suffering in our bodies, an urgency that's not necessary, an urgency that doesn't actually help people in the way that we would like to contribute to other people's lives and their lifestyles, making it better. It also doesn't, the way we've been doing it, it doesn't quite create the connection that I'm craving, that you're craving. The connection I'm craving from the creators whose content I consume, whose creativity blesses me in some way, right? I'm a true fan. I watch and emulate and get ideas and get calmed down from several creators in my life. And Patreon gives me a way to support them without shelling out $250 for a course just to support them. It doesn't require me to buy a book at a specific date to help them get to the Amazon bestseller status, right? I can create a relationship, a connection with the creators who feed and serve me over long periods of time because I'm watching their YouTube channel and they're putting out something useful or helpful or amusing to me, once a week. Right? So I can contribute to that instead of just consuming their creativity with no reciprocal exchange. This is not healthy for us the way that we've been doing it, friends. It is very unhealthy because then the creator gets burned out. The creator is in poverty. The creator is worried about paying their mortgage, and yet they have people who are dependent on them for their energy. It's not a healthy way to do it. It does not bless us the way we can be blessed. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I miss people on social media. I want to know what is going on with them, and they're not showing up in my feed. I can barely reach anyone that I used to have a connection with any kind of product or encouragement or free, meme that I post on Facebook. I can't reach people on Facebook or Instagram or my newsletter because I'm not in control of who is being exposed to it. The company is in control and they're not showing what I want to see and they're not showing other people if they're interested in what I'm doing. And then you have to think of the person and you have to look them up to see what they're doing. And maybe you don't think of them for 6 months because guess what? You have other shit to do. And we are not engaging. I definitely am not engaging the way that I was engaging on Facebook because basically what I see are ads and strangers. Ads and strangers. And I miss communicating on a daily or weekly or monthly basis with the people I have chosen to be friends with, to like, or to, follow, or to whatever. I have chosen these people and I'm not seeing it because Facebook doesn't find it profitable. Patreon allows people to commit to that and to seek a connection. So I have this, astrologer. She's a astrologer, therapist, healer. And I really like watching her videos. I watch them every month. I watch them every new moon. I find comfort and peace in understanding that I am not in control of every aspect of the universe. It makes me often validates what I'm already feeling, and I can say, okay. Mercury retrograde is over in 2 weeks, and technology will be less frustrating. It gives me a sense of peace, and I consume that. She puts that out. She doesn't get paid for putting that out. Very few people make $1 million on AdSense a year. So I get to contribute to her in support of the work that she's doing without having to, for instance, wait in line with 1,000 other people to get a private reading from her, once every 3 years, because it's not the amount of money that I can spend right now. I don't at all think she's not worth that amount of money. She's definitely worth that amount of money, but right now I have other responsibilities that my money needs to go to. But a nominal fee on Patreon, that is something I can contribute. That is something I can contribute. So I would like you to consider coming to my Patreon, tracysue.com/Patreon. This is the way I'm talking about reconsidering how you're going to do it going forward. What was working? What was not working? What do I want to do differently? And I can't do that unless I have a system, a ritual, something in place that allows me to do it, because I've forgotten, right? I've forgotten what didn't work in January. I've forgotten what did work in January. I've even forgotten half my resolutions for January. Never mind what I was focused on in 2010 or 2016, right? So I have a harvest course that is impeccable for this work. It is tried and true. I've been doing it for a decade. I've been learning from it. I've been doing it with my family. I've been doing it with my clients. I've been doing it with my friends. I've been doing it with small groups. I've been doing it in a way that helps me and them move forward, change it up, figure it out, acknowledge it. I have around my room a decade's worth of dream boards. Every year in January, not by the first, but mid-January, because I want a second to think about it after Christmas, to feel into it, if you will. My family makes a family dream board. Each of my children make a dream board, and I make a dream board. In the past, we have had our friends, my clients, small groups come to our home, and we have a big dream board party. And I can now look at those and I can say, okay, I did manifest that. Did I do it in a way that I would like to do it again? What did I learn from that? Or that didn't come in the way that I thought it was going to come. And how did it come? How did it show up? And what language did I use? What was the image, the picture maybe that I used? Right? Whose pictures are on there? What relationships was I focused on? And how did that manifest in my life? And why did I want that? Why did I want that in the first place? What was I hoping that it fulfilled in me emotionally or spiritually? What did I expose myself to, and would I want to expose myself again? And also, what do I want now that's different than what I wanted in 2010? Where have I grown spiritually? Where have I moved and shifted and changed spiritually? So the harvest course that I've created absolutely helps us answer those questions. It gives us a platform in which to evaluate, shift, and most important, acknowledge and be grateful for what we actually have done. Because my friends, you have forgotten some pretty cool stuff. I promise you that. That is a guarantee. You have forgotten some pretty damn cool stuff that you have accomplished, that you have participated in. You have forgotten. So my encouragement to you is take this harvest course. It's going to be on Patreon. I would tell you everything you need to know, but the thing is, I can't give away things for free. I can't be consumed. My energy cannot be consumed with no reciprocal energy exchange. And that is fair. That is fair. I need to be supported by the people who are participating in my programs, in my contributions to the world, in my podcast. It has to be a reciprocal energy exchange or it can't continue to happen. It cannot continue to happen. And that is true for all of those creators out there that you have been consuming in their newsletters or their encouraging Facebook posts or their videos or their free content, their free VFOs, their free valuable offer to get your email address. There are certain people that we now use in place of church. And you have a specific group of people that you are following, that you are watching, that you have followed for a long time, or that you just discovered. A tithe is meant to support the church and the spiritual leader. And we don't have that kind of thing now. We don't have churches. I mean, they exist, but we're not getting fed by them and we don't go to them. Mostly we don't go to them. Most of us don't because they're not feeding us in a way that we want to be fed. They're stagnant with old dogma. They have not moved forward into current times and massive amounts of change that we have experienced. So over the years in which I have not been fed in this way, I have tithed to the creators. I have given money. I have bought the products. I have contributed in a reciprocal energy exchange to the creators who actually have blessed me, who have fed me in a spiritual or creative or entertaining way. I strongly encourage this tithe because it doesn't just bless the creator, it blesses you. It allows the work to continue. And if we keep sucking our entertainers and our creators and our songwriters and our, you know, book writers and our free ebook writers, then the work will stop because it cannot be sustained in the way that we have been doing it in the 20-teens. So I've got this amazing course and I've been giving it away for a decade and it can't happen anymore. But I do want to leave you in the last 15 minutes or so with a really beautiful accounting. I developed this about 12 years ago. Zach was a baby. And my husband did not like the way that I was spending my time. He did not find my ventures worthwhile. He wanted something from me that I didn't want to give him, which is go get a shit part-time job where I was literally going to lose money by paying for childcare. And I was a substitute teacher. I worked every single day that I could. He did not want me doing anything that would bring value to my life. And he was very insistent on it. And so he would say, what are you doing? You're not contributing. What are you doing with your time? I had the responsibility of being the primary caretaker, the one who was taking care of the house, cleaning the house, doing all of these responsibilities that he simply did not value. So I made a list of all the things that I had done that year. I was still breastfeeding. I was literally using my body to feed other humans. And he just did not see. I thought he did not see all the work that I did. It turns out he saw it. He just didn't give a shit. He didn't value it. So I sat down and I made a list of 100 things. I think at the time it was like 100. I didn't have a goal. I just started writing down all the things that I had accomplished, all the things that I had contributed to, all the things that I was spending my time on, all the money that I actually was bringing in through my freelance and through my blogging and through the substitute teaching. And I made a list of like 120 things, and I was so proud of myself, and I showed him this list, and I was like, see all the things that I've accomplished? He did not give one shit. This did not change his view of me at all. This did not make him kinder. It did not make him more supportive. It did not make his judgment of how I was spending my time more generous. It did not change one fucking thing in his mind. Because they were things he simply didn't value. And they weren't me obeying what he wanted me to do. But me, it changed me. Me, I looked at this list and I thought, man, I'm really proud of myself. Man, I really have accomplished a lot in the last year. Man, I really have made a ton of progress. And it gave me this view of myself that I didn't have before, because his feedback was so critical and so hurtful and so painful that I had started to believe this in myself. I had started to see myself the way that he saw me, which was without value. And no, I didn't divorce him at that time. I divorced him later. Or actually, he's the one who divorced me, which is hysterical. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I have been doing this 100 things list for a decade now. And while every year I am not fighting his perception of me, because that's no longer relevant to me, I do fight this idea that I haven't done enough. I do fight this idea that I should have done more. And I've noticed that by November, everyone else is fighting that idea. Everyone else is beating themselves up for not finishing that revolution at the beginning of the year. And maybe they don't even care about it anymore, but they still carry the guilt. So in the course, I offer a free pass. And in this 100 things, I have prompts that are not your typical prompts. Yes, you may have published that book. Yes, you may have reached Amazon bestseller. Yes, and, you know, all power to you. Props to you. I'm so proud of you. You may have bought a house. You may have bought a car. You may have saved $10,000. Like, these are totally awesome, valid accomplishments, and they should be acknowledged, and you should be grateful, and you should tell yourself thank you and reward yourself for doing those things. But I'll tell you what, friends, I have done this with dozens and dozens of people. And the more important, the more valuable, the more exciting things that people notice and accomplish when they do these prompts are their spiritual leaps and bounds, are their emotional leaps and bounds, are their friendships, their relationships with their children, how they're taking care of themselves, how they're managing their lives. So I'm going to give you some of these prompts. And again, you can get all of these on Patreon. You can get the whole course. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. R-E-O-N. You can go to patreon.com/TracySue, TracEeSiouX. You can go to TracySue.com/Patreon, or you can go to TracySue.com/safe space. And then on Patreon, here's what I'm also really excited about. I have been creating an entire series on trauma that is too personal, too private, too sensitive, too vulnerable for me to be sharing with the whole fucking world. I am creating a series of content that is not for public consumption, not for being open to haters and people who are criticizing what I'm doing. And this started as one simple podcast, and it flowed out of me. It was like a cup runneth over. I started talking about it, and then I just kept talking about it. I talked about it on video. I talked about it in audio recordings. I just kept talking about the trauma that I have experienced and what effects that has had on me. And what new medications have been invented to fix, repair the brain. See, when you experience trauma or violence or depression or anxiety or a head injury or whatever, grief, there are these things in your brain called glutamines, and they connect the neurotransmitters in your brain. And SSRIs work only temporarily, and they only work while you're taking the medication, and they only work on SSRIs. They repair nothing. But now we have special medications that have finally been FDA approved. The first things that have ever been approved that actually correct your brain damage, correct the glutamine that attaches these neurotransmitters. It repairs. And I'm sharing my experiences of those medications. And I don't care to share that some of these experiences with the whole world. There are certain things I am happy to talk in general public about, but there are other things that no. I've been doing this a long time. I've been publicly speaking about many things personal in my life since 2007. I've created so much content. I've published 3 books about some of these things. But you know what I haven't done is market those books, because it's just too vulnerable. It's just too raw. It's had too many effects. And I'm too scared. And it just recently has occurred to me that being afraid of haters and criticism is so fucking valid that I should not shame myself for that. And Patreon gives me a safe space where I can share that with you, and where you can say, me too, that happened to me too. And I want to share a little bit of what I'm going through. And this gives me a safe space where I can do that, where I can release deeper, longer content, where we can have a deeper, longer conversation, where we can have a more authentic and real and safe conversation. I want to give you some of the questions that are in the 100 things so that you get an idea of the 100 things that you have done are so much more important than you think that they are. You've overlooked some of them. You have not given yourself the credit that you deserve. What are you really proud of about this year? What unexpected gifts did the universe send your way? Who have you loved? Who has loved you? What have you healed? How did you rest? How did you play? Where did God show up in your life? What have you released? When did you feel joy? In what part of your life are you completely content? Where did you spend your money? What stressed you out in January that doesn't stress you out now? How have you gotten more organized, more effective, more efficient? What did you fear, but you did it anyway? All of these deserve your gratitude, deserve your attention, deserve your acknowledgement. What I'm encouraging people to do this year is do them not just for this 2019 year, but look at the entire 20 teens. Look at the entire decade. I've raised two children into preschool to teenage years. That's a huge accomplishment. And it reminds me that putting out more content and making a specific amount of money was not my original intention. Yeah, those are great, and I still wanted to work and I wanted to do all of that, but to shame myself for not achieving a specific number of money, whatever that is, $100,000, $1 million, whatever it is for you, that wasn't my primary goal for this last decade. Raising human beings to really great, competent adults with an emotional and spiritual maturity and being able to go out there and work in the world with self-confidence, with great friendships, with kindness and compassion. That has been my primary goal. For 18 years, Ainsley's 18 now, I have raised someone into adulthood, and I have no doubt whatsoever that she is completely prepared for life. No doubt that she is completely prepared to run a business, manage her finances, be emotionally resilient, have relationships, be a kind person. I have no doubt, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. And that accomplishment, that one, that every day putting in the work, every day doing the hard parts, every day clenching my stomach as I made them do things they didn't want to do. Every single piece of criticism that I offered to make them do better, try harder. Every single punishment, every bit of carrying a toddler on my back, holding them, breastfeeding them, all of that, that was my primary goal. And I have definitely accomplished that. And that I need to acknowledge. That is something that I need to remember was the primary thing. The primary thing wasn't the books, wasn't the coaching program, wasn't it? Yes, those were very important to me. But all of that came after making sure that my kids were in a good place, making sure that they got what they needed. All of those professional goals came after. I mean, I have been poor plenty of times in exchange for spending time with my children. I have passed over opportunities and not sought certain things that, yes, my soul does desire, but you know what? There's time after they're gone, and the time to raise them is fleeting. They will leave home. Ainsley will leave home in 6 months. Oh my God, I'm going to cry. And I am not worried one single bit about whether she is ready. I worry that I'm not ready, actually. So my friends, join me on Patreon. I'll still be talking a lot about that, but I always will have a free podcast until I stop having a podcast. And there will be plenty of opportunity to see videos. I have a YouTube channel that I'm starting to post more on. And of course, I'm still on social media, but good Lord, I can't even connect with the people I want to connect with. And I miss you. I miss you a lot, actually. I miss you a huge amount. And I want to continue to have a relationship with you. And I want that relationship to go deeper than a Facebook post. I want the content that I release to go deeper than a podcast. There are things that are too important to concisely put in an hour. And I would like a fair energy exchange with you. I would very much like that. Your participation allows the work to continue. And I do believe that the work is important. I do believe that the work that I have done and will do is important. And that there are certain people, let's call them true fans, who have been fed and want to continue to be fed in a deeper way. And to participate in a more interactive way. To have access that's much deeper than someone who's just stopping by. Hey, stop by again. Have a happy Thanksgiving, friends. Thank yourself for all the work you've put in. Go back to your dream boards. Go to your Facebook page. Look at your bank account. What did you spend money on? Who did you spend time with? What awesome trip did you take? Go back to those. Don't wait for Facebook to show you your memory. Go back in those photos and look at what you have done in the 2019. I'm proud of you. Thank you for clicking on this link and listening. And I cannot wait to talk to you again.